Merci.
Thank you, Chairman. Two observations very quickly. It would seem that the contradiction between intellectual property rights and human rights is a matter of concern for some delegations. And I'd like to emphasize something. The UN human rights bodies have repeatedly stated that human rights should have primacy over any patent law or intellectual property rights. There's no ambiguity about that. On the same point, I'd like to flag up a general observation 17 on human rights and intellectual property adopted at the UN Committee on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights in 2005. That clearly made a distinction between the two types of right, and it also highlighted the nature of different types of intellectual property rights. Obviously, copyright for workers and artists who live from the fruits of their creative labor must be protected. You don't want their works to be abused or misappropriated. But that's different from the intellectual property rights of multinational corporations who are motivated solely by profit. Just a couple more words from General Observation 17. I'm quoting from paragraph 2 of it. It reads as follows. Contrary to human rights, intellectual property rights are generally limited in time and they can be withdrawn, reattributed, or subject to licensing agreements. Intellectual property rights, with the exception of economic rights, can be yielded, limited over time or in their scope, negotiated on, modified, or even lost. Human rights have no expiry period and they are essential to the nature of the individual human being. I think that's crystal clear, so I don't think there's any concern for those states, any need for concern by those states who want to protect the rights of their people, including indigenous communities, farmers, etc. It is obvious that human rights have primacy over the intellectual property rights of companies and corporations, which, as I say, are limited in time. Now, turning more specifically to Article 19 on the right to seize, this is the outcome of lengthy negotiations between states and organizations of persons directly concerned by this declaration: peasants, indigenous peoples, fishermen, pastoralists, agricultural workers, all of whom are represented here. It would therefore be a dreadful shame to bring this into question. We'll all remember, I'm sure, that the first version went a lot further than what we now have in front of us this morning. So touching anything of the already reduced text we have now would be extremely harmful and add unnecessary complications to the negotiating process. That's the last thing we want, because at this session we are supposed to be concluding the negotiations.